Hey, good evening, everybody. How's it going? I'm back.
Good evening.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You weren't here last week.
Yeah.
You were going to drop in, but you never did.
I know. Well, you know, I was so tired. I fell asleep before the stream was over.
Really?
Kind of battling a cough, so.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. You know, I told you were going to get something from your son.
Yep. And I did. We all did. Tonight we're joined by Douglas Bogart from Limited Run. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. No problem. Thanks for the documentary.
Yeah. It was awesome being able to come down and hang out, and thanks for allowing us to do it.
Yeah, I remember when I told Corey, I said, so, you know, Limited Run Games is, like, not that far from me. And he was just like, what? Okay, we're doing this.
Yeah.
Like, you were like,
well, we got to pitch really the idea.
As soon as, and it was, you know, I just emailed Josh and he's like, oh, yeah, we're aware of your show. And I was like, what? And we just kind of worked it out from there. Like, I think I originally emailed him in April and, you know, we kind of kept pushing it back a little bit, and we finally went there in what, July? I think it was July.
Yeah, it was like mid July. Yeah, like second week, maybe like the 13th or something like that.
Yeah. So I guess it's been about 2.5 months, but
it's been
a
while.
It took a while to get the script together.
Yeah.
It's always, I think it's tougher, like, to write a script around sound bites, around an interview.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to craft your narrative around something that's totally unchangeable.
But apparently we changed a little bit because we had wrong we interpreted information incorrectly.
Yeah, there was at least
it wasn't that bad.
There was like 1.5 things that were slightly off, slightly incorrect. But you know, I mean, you know, little mistakes. It doesn't change the broader picture of the story,
right?
But yeah, we want to do more things like this. We actually updated our Patreon last night to add a new goal. That said, that, you know, this is probably a ways off, but, you know, we had a goal for, you know, $1,000 a month. If we got to that point, we could easily do, you know, a few of these year.
We could like travel to like different places.
We could travel, you know, the travel limitation wouldn't be a factor because so far we've done things out of convenience. You know, because thankfully there are a few things that are possibilities in North Carolina, such as Limited Run. I stopped by Cyan and interviewed Rand Miller last summer, just because I was going on vacation in that area. And, you know, it was convenient, but, you know, there's people, you know, all around that we would love to do this type of project on. And if our Patreon could get to a certain point, it would be possible for us. You know, we're not going to stop trying to do these as the opportunities come, but we can guarantee a much broader range of this type of work. And I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree. There's a lot of things that we like. I have one specific dream. I'm not gonna let it out there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say what it is. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is.
But yeah, I mean, it's something that we would. I mean, the idea is that when we first started the channel, this is kind of something that we wanted to do. Stuff like this.
Yeah, oh yeah, this was like one of the. Honestly, even though we've done so little of this type of interview type things, this was really one of the founding ideas in a lot of ways of the channel. Was we called it My Life in Gaming, but the "my" did not necessarily imply you and me. It was a word that we kind of imagined to be, anyone could attribute that phrase to themselves, my life in gaming. So the idea was that we would interview people, mm-hmm. About, you know, maybe it would be, you know, someone who's doing something interesting in the world of gaming, like, Limited Run, like HD Retrovision, which we did, like almost 2 years ago at this point. Things like that, or it could just be, you know, someone who has something to, you know, if we did a video on, you know, I don't know, Super Metroid, for example. We're not planning to do a video on Super Metroid, but if we did, you know, maybe interview some just various people, like, what are your thoughts, what is your history in Super Metroid, and just, like, you know, have other people than us just that was kind of the original plan, was right. Like, just have other people talk about, you know, all this kind of stuff. And we have done that in some games, or in some episodes. Like, for example, we've had, guests in certain episodes. Like, you had Happy Console Gamer and GameSack and the Sega on the Xbox right. episode and stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, of course, that was them shooting their own material, not us going out there and interviewing them. But this type of thing where we're incorporating stories and what other people have to say, that was mm-hmm. always part of the original vision for the channel. It's just that we have so few opportunities to make that happen.
Right. But we're pushing for more. So tonight I'm going to play an assortment of games. I'm going to start off with Soldner X2. We had some people, I think I read something on a thread on NeoGAF saying, like, oh, how come they didn't talk about what happened with Soldner X2? Like the way it sold out so quick, or there was like issues with the store. But that was because we shot this before it was released, and
they opened the boxes full of Soldner while we were there.
Right.
There's a shot of it in the video.
Right. Well, no, that's Zeo Drifter. That's a Zeo Drifter.
Oh, but they did have stack. They did have Soldner. They did have Soldner when we were there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean, we had some people ask, like, oh, why didn't you talk about this? Like, because, you know, it hadn't happened, and
we did talk about it, though. We said, you know, it was a little awkward to work it in, because Josh says in the interview, he said, we've looked at the numbers, we think this is, you know, this is the right amount for it, and it turned out to be untrue. And Corey says, well, you know, the math can't be right every time, but the lessons learned here will be felt in the future. So we did touch on it, but I think people were expecting us to be like hardball investigators, you know, why did you not have enough soldiers? It's like, that's not our style. I'm sure that part would have been a little different if, we had interviewed them and, you know, they had said, oh yeah, we did not have enough soldiers.
Doug, knows? I see you mentioning in the chat. It's just because it'll show up like when you talk. It switches back and forth. I'm using a capture from my desktop.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So since I'm talking, it's showing me, and then when you talk, you'll pop up.
Right. Right.
I mean, the whole soldier thing, if you wanted me to answer that, that was kind of a one half, like, Josh thought it wouldn't sell out, and thought it should be at two per person, and I thought it should be one per person. So we kind of had an argument about that, and then we decided, like, well, we'll see how it goes in the first half and then decide on the second half.
Oh, interesting. So
Josh was right. I mean, we looked at all the numbers, and we didn't have that many people visit us. I think the views before were, like, something like 6,000 people had gone to our page or something. During the last sale, which honestly, that doesn't convert necessarily into actual buyers. And then the day of Soldner happened and we had 12,000 people show up.
That's an insane number.
That doesn't necessarily convert to buyers either, but that's still, that's double what we had. So that meant there was at least double more customers, and we didn't understand why or where all these people came from. So we thought maybe it was because of trophies, or if it was because of something else, but we never did really figure it out. But that day we were like, okay, we definitely need to switch this to one per person on the second run, or the second right. launch window. But we definitely underestimated Vita fans once again. We also underestimated Soldner's popularity. Even the East Asia soft didn't think that Soldner was going to do that well, because it didn't do that well digitally, they said. So we were all really shocked by that. And obviously now we've increased our numbers. And if it's a little run, we do one per customer. If it's a bigger run, we do two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think part of the thing was Soldner. And, you know, I'll admit, I did not pick up Soldner
after start.
I watched it.
Just while we're
yeah, go ahead.
Going.
I Corey played a little while we were on Skype one time, and he put the thing up on Skype. And I'm like, man, like I'm kind of regretting that I didn't get this game, because I'm not a big shmup guy, but I want to like shmups, but I'm just like very bad at them. And
you beat Life Force. That's pretty good.
I beat Life Force, but that's the only
legit
the only
like
one
not
that with,
not
really
using
fun.
Like the Konami code. That's pretty good. I'd say.
Yeah. But you know, I was like, and you know, I was like, I was kind of trying to not spend too much money at the time, so I sort of regret that I did not get Soldner. But I think the thing with Soldner is that it's such an appealing looking game, like
right.
you know, and it's a very traditional sort of style of game, and I think you're going to get a wide audience with something like that, because you just look at this and you're like, wow, this game looks awesome. You know, it's a popular genre. I had not heard of the game prior to seeing Limited Run pick it up, but I just think that the nature of what the game is and how cool it looks, just, you know,
It makes people get it. Shooter fans are notoriously hardcore.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, there's factors like that that are just, I'm sure, very difficult to estimate.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was looking at my the time spent in this, and I put in like 4 hours into it. And it has kind of a cool progression. You have to discover these keys hidden in each level, and it will unlock further levels. So I've only unlocked up to stage 6 at this point.
So can you play the stages in any order? Or?
Yeah, you can start from anywhere.
Okay, but you have to finish the game. You have to play them all.
Well, no, you just have to get all the keys.
Okay.
Yeah, you just need to get more keys in order to unlock more stages.
And then you could start.
Okay,
from
so then
stage
could you just like
it's a
start
hard game though?
Yeah.
Could you just start from like the last level if you get all the keys?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really know. There's a continue unlock too, but I thought at first it was going to be something like, say like Ikaruga, where you every hour you play it would unlock an additional continue, but it doesn't seem to be that way.
The ring pickups are kind of an interesting thing to see in the shooter.
Yeah.
That smoke is awesome in the background. Like that must be like a recorded video clip.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Like the smoke looked like too motiony to be like done in game, especially on the Vita.
I don't know. When I first tweeted about this, when I first like, because I was there was one night where I was capturing footage and I was like just starting this, and I ended up spending my whole night playing this instead of capturing footage from other things. But East Asia Soft responded and said like they went through a lot to get this game to run at 60 frames per second on the Vita.
And you kind of goofed off and played. I don't know why you did, because your PVM does up to 720p 1080i.
Right. I put the
Vita
in.
You kind of goofed around and.
I
played it in 480p on your PVM.
Yeah,
by converting
it looked great.
To composite.
Yeah. Well, no, but I converted it to a component.
Well, that's why I thought I said component. I said composite.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's funny. You should try in 720. Try the PSTV on your in 720p sometime.
I should.
On the PVM, rather. Of course,
right.
You're playing 720p now, I'm sure. You know, I spent a lot of time trying to determine whether the it was potentially better to play the PSTV in 1080i because the Vita's native resolution is half 1080p.
Right.
So I figured that it might scale better to 1080i if you've got good deinterlacing.
Right.
And I found it, even though it doesn't match up very well with 720p, I had a hard time determining that there was much of a benefit at 1080i with good deinterlacing. The PSTV not outputting 1080p just seems like a real weird thing. Like it couldn't have taken that much more to output at that resolution.
Right. I saw some comments also on a forum saying like, oh, the games that we show like during the wishful thinking part, like, oh, is it like hints and stuff? And I have to say again that like like Josh Doug could not give us any hints of like anything. Like we didn't even know that Shadow Complex was a thing.
No, and that is huge.
Yeah.
That is huge. I mean, how, you know, obviously that came about after we visited you guys, like.
But I mean,
is there an interesting story behind that? Oh, did we know at that time?
But no, we didn't know. They knew.
But you knew. Yeah. But like, that's what I mean. Like, is there an interesting story behind that? Like, that's a pretty big pickup.
And you really only had to go down the road to like, talk about it.
For Shadow Complex, we're obviously right by Epic, and we had been talking to Joe Reiner. He's kind of like the vice president or something of the engine for Epic. Like, he's basically the guy who goes around telling everybody, like, hey, you need help. So we knew him, and we've been telling him, hey, we're doing this thing called Limited Run Games. You know, we'd really like to do, like, Shadow Complex. And he was just kind of like, okay, well, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. So we're like, all right, okay, whatever. And then later we put out Oddworld, and he was like, whoa, you guys put out Oddworld? That's pretty cool. Like, maybe we should discuss Shadow Complex now. And that was it. So Oddworld's kind of the one that opened the door.
Yeah.
So I mean that's in the grand scheme of things, that didn't seem to take that long to come together. Like, what? Like, what would you say is like the quickest possible time frame between, you know, sealing a deal with a developer to when the games are printed by Sony and in your hands, ready to go up on the store?
I mean, it could differ. Like, for example, like Nuclear Throne isn't out yet, but just getting that contract signed because Rami's so busy took like, God, when did I talk to him?
Oh, is that
PSX? And I didn't get it signed until.
Is that information out there?
What was that?
Is that information out there?
Nuclear Throne's out
there. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We told everybody. We announced it at E3.
Oh, okay. Okay. Why did I not know that?
So it was announced, but it's not done, obviously. But, like, getting the contract signed just because Rami's so busy took 3 months alone, I think.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, there's some games that we got signed that came out pretty quickly. I'm trying to think, like, which ones. So I'd say, like, it probably 4 months from initial conception.
Uh-huh.
So that's, like, the
quickest. So you're probably working on the Shantae deal for a while. Like, that is huge for me because I'm a big, big WayForward fan.
Yeah, that's definitely a couple months old now. So,
but you don't have a release. It's just sometime next month, right now. It's expected next month.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So a lot of our contracts get signed very early on, and then we always tell the dev like, "Hey, there's no rush," because they're always like asking us like, "What do you need now?" Like, we're really busy, or we got this other thing in the pipeline. So like they always kind of tell us like, you know. Like, we can sign the contract, but we're not ready yet. Is that okay? And we're like, that's perfectly okay. Because, I mean, we have, like, 30 to 50 games coming out. We don't really need all these to be ready at the exact same time. That would be bad. So we're perfectly okay with spacing stuff out.
What's so interesting about that deal is that you know, so many people are like publishing different versions of the Shantae games. Like Pirate's Curse is coming out on 3DS pretty soon. And
well,
I don't know who's publishing that one, but like Xseed is doing like the new one.
Xseed is doing the Kickstarter game,
right?
Is it Rising Star? I think it might be Rising Star is doing the 3DS Pirate's Curse. And at first, like, I honestly forgot that the PS4 version wasn't getting a physical from that deal. And so I had forgotten that I'd like had the 3DS version pre-ordered on Amazon. And Corey links me this picture that has like the two reversed covers of Pirate's Curse, and he thought that picture had Risky's Revenge in it as well. And he links me that, and I'm thinking, huh? I'm confused why this is a big deal. And then I was looking through my Twitter feed, and I was like, oh, there's Risky's Revenge in here. Okay, this is a huge deal, because that's never... Now all they need to do is get the original game, you know, running in a
or something.
Running in a good emulator for PS4 or something that you can just include on the disc, because I want a physical copy of the original so bad. But I mean, no way. Unless someday I'm making millions of dollars, which I have no plan to be making millions of dollars one day. I don't expect I'm going to own the original Shantae except on the virtual console, which, you know, I bought it, I played it that way, but I sure wish I had the real thing, because it's such an impressive Game Boy game.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan of WayForward. Anything you guys could pick up from WayForward would be great.
Yeah, we actually bought Shantae for Game Boy Color to play at the office. That was kind of, we were gonna play it and kind of joke about like playing it and like, oh, maybe we'll do Shantae one day, but then it got announced. Well, we still have to play it for the stream, just because, I mean, it was like a $200 purchase or something crazy. So
that was it. Like, that's actually not bad.
it might have been more. I don't know.
Yeah,
Josh just kind of bought it on a whim.
I see somebody in the chat said Darius Burst, and I think it was Josh that said like, oh, that would be something that he would love to do, like, because the Vita version got a port in Japan. I imported that, but I would love a PS4 version.
Yeah, no, we definitely want to do a Darius Burst. When I was in Japan, I was trying to see if I could like maybe talk to somebody there about it. I would love to do it. You never know, the whole One-Way Heroics thing kind of opened it with more Japanese developers, so
right.
Maybe we'll actually get to talk to more people.
And that's kind of, like, that's such a huge thing, you know, like, that's so cool that you guys are doing a Japanese release. Like, that's, is it your first one? It's your first one, right?
It's our first one. It's not the first one we signed. I mean, we had another, ironically, the one that we signed that we... Well, I guess now it's news. The Silver Case, the whole PC thing we're doing.
Right.
That was our first sign thing, and apparently Spike Chunsoft asked them about us, and they were like, no, we've had a good experience so far, like, talking with them. Like, I think you should work with them, too. So the whole Japanese culture is based around trust.
Right.
So everybody, as long as we don't mess anything up, we should be good for more games.
Right. So the Silver Chair, or Silver Case... I want to say Silver Chair. It's like, no, that's like the Australian band.
Yeah, Silver Chair is a band.
Yeah. But I wasn't like really familiar. So I was reading some forum posts on it, and you guys are doing a pre-order for it and then printing as many as you get. Like, you're doing it like Gaijin Works style, where you're just
We're gonna do pre-order, and then I think like 5 to 10% above whatever is pre-ordered for people who didn't pre-order.
Right.
And then we're doing that mainly just because it's PC and we've never done PC. I personally feel like Indiebox was really good, so I didn't want to step on their toes either.
Again,
knowing them and knowing they've told me like what a crazy market it is, and Josh and I really aren't that super comfortable with it, but because it's Suda, we weren't gonna say no.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. I guess, like, so interesting since it's a PC game, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be a big box, like old PC games.
Oh, neat. That's really cool. I bet you that is something that our old friend Lazy Game Reviews will be excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. I mean, like, it's... I actually, because I've always wanted the physical versions of them, or of, you know, several of the games that came out, is I've imported the Japanese, like, deluxe versions of the EES games that came out, you know, for Windows and stuff. And then I bought the DRM-free versions on GOG and just put them on a flash drive and put them inside the physical, like the real versions of the game, just so I could have something like for my shelf. And a friend of mine just got me the...
No, that makes sense.
I'm
a big fan of anything boxed.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, PC games are so cool because they're... If you got the space for them. Because they... Like,
yeah.
Well, at least they used to be significantly bigger. But that's so cool you guys are doing, like, an old style. I mean, I remember working at Electronics Boutique and the whole back wall of the store, like, an entire side of the store was all big box PC games. Real pain in the ass to organize, though. That's cool. So when did you announce that?
We announced it the same day as Shantae. Like they
okay.
Grasshopper announced it Friday. At TGS.
Yeah, okay.
They announced it in Tokyo. So I mean that's been a deal since like March, when I went to Japan actually. But they couldn't tell me what game it was going to be. They're like, it's going to be a really big game, but I can't tell you what it is because the NDA is going to take 30 days for us to sign. And I was like, holy crap. So.
And
then they finally told me at PAX, they were like, hey, we're going to announce the game that we're going to work on together. And I was like, cool. I was like, so what is it? And they're like, they handed me the thing. And immediately I was like, holy crap, it's a Suda 51 game. And I was like, I don't even care anymore. Like, let's do it.
That's awesome. That's great. I'm trying to think of like what would be some other Japanese games that
Monster Boy
that would be. Well, yeah, Monster.
We're obsessed
but
with
now,
that.
Isn't? I think that's like it's or like obviously like the creator is in Japan, but I want to say it's like developed by like a Swedish studio or something like
yeah.
that. But I could be wrong. I'm not too sure on that.
We got a lot of comments from people on the video saying, like, oh, can you please do a Scott Pilgrim game? And it's like, there's no way that could happen. Like, the rights to that are probably insane.
There's a reason it's not up
anymore. I mean, there's probably... Yeah, I mean, I've heard rumors that, like, Scott Pilgrim may one day, hopefully. Like, these are obviously, like, unbased from anything. Mm-hmm. Like, no one's actually said this to me. But, like, I hear things around the game industry... That it may come back out one day, or like somebody, there's people trying to get it, but it would be kind of impossible for us just because it's Ubisoft, unless they like gave the rights away. I don't think Ubisoft would ever allow us to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if the rights maybe fell back into the developer's hand, they could make a new copy without the, make a new version without the Ubisoft logo on it.
Yeah. Yeah,
maybe then they would be open to it. Yeah, I mean, I could see stuff like that becoming
it's pretty
impossible.
Sad that that's one that's like is delisted and everything because
yeah,
it just has a great soundtrack and it's
I was pretty upset.
It's so messed up that you know because it was you know it was very I guess it's kind of like ahead of its time when it came out. Like the kind of stuff that it did. I mean, not in terms of like gameplay, but like the throwback style. Like the artwork was the sprites were done by that one guy. Like what is it? Like the guy he did the Mercenary Kings.
That's Paul Robertson.
That's it. I know. I was like, I didn't want to say Pat Robertson.
Yeah, just think Robert Paulson.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Robert Paulson from Fight Club.
Yep.
And then it's Paul Robertson.
Okay. But it's, you know, it's like then the soundtrack by Anna Menagucci. Like, it's really unfortunate that's gone.
Now, do you have any concept of like how if it would be feasible at all to do like if a developer just was not going to make a PS4 port of a game that they already did, but there's like a PS3 version. Like, is there any way you could do like a low print run PS3 game with Sony?
Probably. I'm guessing there's probably.
So the trick with PS3, and we've looked into this, so we could definitely print it, but getting a dev to go back to PS3, like they would have to basically develop it to where it has, because like PS4 just installs to the hard drive, PS3 actually is constantly running off the disk.
Oh,
so like
that's
an additional line of code they would have to do, and that would require more testing.
Interesting.
Yeah, I could see how that could be an issue. Would if that wasn't an issue, would it be like the same cost to get a limited run of PS3 games run, or would it be cheaper, more expensive because they're not really printing them so much anymore? Or?
But they're still Blu-rays.
Shut
there.
Oh yeah.
No, but they're. I think it's the same place.
Oh okay.
So it's doable. I mean, like Gaijin Works did a limited run of like the, what is it, like Class of Heroes.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, they were doing PSP games until like recently.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Now, does Sony charge the same amount to print Vita games versus PS4 games, or is? I mean, I would imagine that the materials required to create a Vita game have to be more expensive than a PS4 game, a Blu-ray game.
PS4 is definitely a little bit more expensive.
Really?
So, but. Yeah, because it's a cartridge. Discs are a lot cheaper for them to manufacture.
Well, you said PS4 is more expensive.
Oh no! Whoops, I'm sorry, Vita.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine so. I wonder, just like to what extent the cost, what cost might be. Because you know the rumor right now is that. You know, Nintendo NX is going to be cartridge based, which would be amazing. Like, I would be so into the NX. I would take a lower power system if they could like totally cut out like having to have like active cooling on the system. So no fans, no disk drive. You've got a system that will, you know, essentially last forever. That would be amazing if they could do it that way.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's possible these days. We'll see though.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. People kept saying that they thought it was going to be unveiled in September because, like, they're saying they're going to release it in March. Like, they
there's no way it's like coming out in March.
You don't think so? I mean, they said that a while ago.
I know, but
they said that
if they haven't announced it yet, or even shown anything of it.
I mean, Nintendo these days tends to not announce most things like all that far in advance. I mean, sometimes they do. I don't know. I mean, right now I feel inclined to believe that they will live up to the March thing, but they're not going to have a very long hype period.
Yeah. This is like my favorite boss in the game.
This kind of makes me think for some reason of that big rock guy that chases after you in The Hunt.
Oh yeah.
Different perspective on the fight though.
Right.
Sorry, I'm quiet. My internet's like kind of shitty. I'm sorry if this is PG. Then I also just said a cuss word. Also,
don't worry about it.
Like a robot. So,
it's sorry.
No, you're perfectly understandable.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you've lived in North Carolina your whole life, then? You grew up there? Or, Doug, I don't know if you can hear me or not.
What?
You've lived in North Carolina your whole life?
What'd you say?
Have you lived in North Carolina your whole life?
Oh, no, I was born in Atlanta.
Okay.
Oh, no, yeah, I was born in Atlanta. I moved to North Carolina in 99.
Oh, wow, okay. So, but I'm not like super far, but far enough to be a big deal, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so weird for me, you know, like thinking about, you know, game development stuff happening in North Carolina. Like, it's still just like the wildest thing, like, for me to think that, like, you know, the most widely used third-party engine. Well, I don't know if that's really true.
I'm not sure if it's true anymore or not.
Yeah, it might be Unity. I don't know.
No, it might be, yeah.
But, like, the most widely used in AAA games anyway. Like, you know.
Right.
I guess there haven't been, like, a lot of Unreal 4 stuff. But, like, last gen, like, Unreal 3 was, like... like every game, it's just wild to think like about that and about, you know, big games like Gears of War 2. Like, I just don't feel like North Carolina things to me. I don't know why I said Gears of War 2. I think I just said that because you said Gears of War 2 in the thing. But that just doesn't feel like something that would happen in North Carolina. But you know, I mean, there you go. It happened. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's interesting that, you know, you and Josh have lived in, you know, the Cary area for, I mean, Josh is like from there originally, right?
No, Josh moved there in 97. He's from San Francisco.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow. I had no idea. For some reason, I could have sworn you said that he'd always lived in the area. Yeah, like, I mean, it's interesting. So, but I mean, still, you were growing up at the time, and it's interesting that you're just kind of in this area that is a little bit of a game industry hotspot. And I, you know, I remember, you know, when I was, you know, I graduated from high school in Delaware. I'm from North Carolina originally, but, you know, I've always had family in North Carolina, so I kind of wanted to go to college in North Carolina, so I did, and I've stayed here ever since. But you know, I remember thinking like, what kind, like, if I wanted to like get into game development, like, if I, you know, what kind of jobs would I even find in North Carolina, like, you know? Or really though, at the time, like, I think the main reason I sort of wrote off the idea of game development was because at the time I didn't really like Western games. Like, I liked like a lot of European games, but like almost nothing, like there was just very little that was made in America that I liked. And I don't know if it's my taste changed or if I kind of felt like American development kind of came into their own. You know, I wasn't I was not a big PC gamer growing up or anything. There was just something about the feel and the very particular level of polish that Japanese games had was just something that I really liked. And I never, American games didn't have that polish. At least that was my perception of them. Maybe not entirely fair. And I felt like a lot of European games had sort of something more polished about them than American games, or at least some of the ideas seemed a little more unique or interesting to me. So I did, I was, obviously a big fan of Rare. I kind of liked a lot of maybe early Ubisoft isn't the way to put it, but like, the N64, Dreamcast, PlayStation 2 era Ubisoft, I really liked a lot. Right. A lot of those were developed in France. So, but it was American games. So at the time, I was like, man, if I wanted to study animation. That's what I wanted to do. And I thought, but I'm like, first of all, where am I even going to find a job? Like, I didn't imagine that I could probably get a job, in a place like North Carolina, because I definitely did not want to live in like LA or something like that.
Right.
So I thought I couldn't get a job in a place I would want to live, and I would probably be working on games that I don't like. And so I kind of wrote off. Nowadays, I don't know. I might have possibly considered giving it much more serious consideration if I was, of the age to go into college nowadays. Because, starting last generation, I really got into Western games. And it might have been changing of tastes. It might have been changing, the game started aligning more to my tastes. Maybe it was a mixture of both. I don't know. Well, nothing's wrong with living in L.A., Blade Blur, except for the fact that I hate cities. I hate cities.
I love cities.
Me too.
I couldn't live in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, gosh. I could sure live in the middle of nowhere as long as I had internet.
For people that don't know, I went back to New York City for the first time since moving away last week.
That's why you weren't there on the stream.
Right. And it was a lot of fun, but, man, it's really hard with two kids. It is really hard when you're carrying two kids around. I thought it was hard enough with one.
That's why you got out of there, really.
Right. Holy cow! It was a lot of fun. But I was like, I think next time we're just gonna leave the kids with their grandparents.
Nah, cities are just too, I don't know, overwhelming for me. Like, it's just too much going on.
Yeah.
I'm too simple of a person for city atmosphere.
So Doug, what would you say you're a big you're a musician. What would you say is your biggest influence? I mean, I know we talked about Blink-182 quite a bit when I was there. But I mean,
for guitar, I would say Blink-182 is probably a big one. Alkaline Trio is another big one. Mm-hmm. Old AFI, some Metallica randomly. A lot of, I guess early a day to remember at one point. It was kind of the Police was a big one actually too. I learned a lot of weird chords from learning to play a lot of Police songs. cello wise, which was what I've been playing since 1997.
Cello?
My influence was Mozart. Yeah, cello is probably like the instrument I've had the longest
really?
Experience on.
Really? Yeah. I would never
that's
have guessed.
That's where I started.
I would never have guessed that.
I picked cello in Atlanta when I was in fourth grade because you needed, you could leave part of language arts. And I was like, sign me up anytime I could get out of class. And then they said, which instrument do you want to play? And I was like, which one always needs a chair? And it was the cello. So. Then I just kept doing it because it was an easy credit.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize carrying a cello around was going to be a pain in the butt. So I was definitely the awkward kid on the bus who was like, hey, can I sit here? And I'm like, no, my cello's sitting here. But, yeah.
You still play?
Yeah, guitar-wise, I still play. I pull it out randomly when there's a song I hear that I really like. Like, I learned how to play the Reigns of Castamere from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I really wanted to learn that just randomly.
Is that the one? Is that's not the song that that Sigur Rós plays in the show? Is that the one that they were playing at the Red Wedding? Is that where
is that
it's from?
The one they're playing at the wedding?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, I never read the book.
I think that's so the one.
I just remember knowing that Sigur Rós was like in the show when they were playing it. I think that's what they played.
Yeah. Somebody asked about Tiger Army. I definitely like some old Tiger Army. So yeah, my influence guitar-wise is all over the place, but it definitely started in pop punk, and right. I have a lot of bad.
Well, that was like.
I'm trying to think.
It was like the. What was that? Late 90s, early 2000s. It was like the time for that.
Yeah, that's when I started playing guitar. So.
Yeah.
So makes sense. I learned from a lot of like, Newfound Glory and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sum 41.
And that was so cool to have the. No, go on.
No, I was just saying, a big Ramones fan, The Clash, mm-hmm. Stuff like that too, like classic punk. What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna say it was so cool, like that you all were able to give Corey some VHS footage of you guys playing music and stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty pixelated in it, but you know, it.
Yeah, I think he took the sound out, right? Which is probably the best. Yeah.
I mean, it was hard to hear it. I just couldn't get it to go into it in a way that you could really like hear it well, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Corey, someone's asking how much would a Japanese PS2 cost?
Mine was like,
you're the one that got the Japanese PS2.
It was like $105, I think, for a fat.
Including shipping?
Yeah.
That's not super awful, I guess. I just got a Japanese PS1, the small one, for $8. And but the shipping was a little bit more, but I bundled it with a PC Engine that was like maybe 50-ish. So the shipping was actually not that bad. The combined shipping, so I did not spend much on it, and I am super. The PC Engine was a little dirty, and I'm, you know, still not entirely sure what I'm going to do with the PC Engine. I'm going to hook it up yet. I did get somewhat cleaned up, but it could use a little more help. But it's not too bad. And of course, I have no way to test it right now, so that's why I'm going to visit you next month, and I'll be sure to bring it so that we can test it. But the PS1 is like super clean and works perfectly, so I'm super happy about that, because I feel like whenever I see the little PS1, it's always like dirty, kind of nasty looking. This one's great.
Yeah, the one I have is, I clean it up a little bit, but.
Best advice for finding a working PC Engine? I have no idea, because I can't even test the one that I have.
Yeah.
I don't have any games. I'm not even sure. I could use my Retro DC to power it, but it didn't come with a power supply. I'm not really sure what the proper power supply to test it with is. So
yeah.
I'll bring it to Corey's so that you've got the DB Electronics graphics thing that we can test it with. You've got games obviously that we can test it with. I just don't even know yet what games I want for PC Engine. I just don't know a ton about the system, but it just kind of felt like this thing that's like, I should have one. I also think it looks really cool. I hate the TurboGrafx. The TurboGrafx, I think, is one of the ugliest, maybe the ugliest video game system ever made. The only other thing like that compares is like Model 2 Master System.
Yeah.
I think TurboGrafx might be a little uglier. but the PC Engine, I think, is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Which is why it's a little bummer that mine is a little dirty, but you know, it's all right.
Douglas, you have like that really interesting looking PC Engine at your office. It's like it looks like a shuttle.
Oh. Yeah, that is I think it's called the shuttle.
Right.
I don't know too much on that. That's something Josh had randomly. But yeah, that's definitely one of the most more random and crazy looking things in our office.
It's, you know,
of course, you got some Neo Geo stuff too.
Yeah, I was gonna say what really sucks is that we shot so much that day that weren't able to use. I mean, just because like there just wasn't a place for it. I mean, we like walked around and like you guys are streaming. We like shot you guys like streaming, in like all the different consoles, and like Josh went through his game collection that he has there.
Yeah. We're gonna release some of that stuff, like just kind of
like for like patrons.
For patrons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was saying you could do some B footage or whatever. Because you know, we did film like, I don't know, what, like an hour and a half with Josh and me as well. I'm sure there's plenty of random crap you can make a video with.
Oh yeah, I mean like the
the
interviews like in their entirety will go up like for patrons. Also like the stuff we shot at Too Many Games. With like all the different like a lot of different
all the YouTube people, yeah.
Yeah, and different people. We'll put that up for patrons. There is just I should look at how big the folder is. But
yeah, it's a ton of material.
It was a pretty serious project. In terms of keeping everything organized in the project, yeah. In the edit as well.
Well, I mean, it was, and you know, I'm just in terms of sheer size. I mean, it was it was hours of 4K footage.
I know, but really, actually, you know what? You all the walking around stuff was not 4K.
The
interviews was 4K. Okay, yeah, I saw somebody asking about the GH4 that you shot everything on the GH4, and the reason one of the interviews looks so good is because you shot at 4K.
Right. So sometimes you were able to like zoom in a little tighter on the interviews.
Before, well, when there's like a cut in the sound bites and stuff, when I needed to.
You know, honestly, I was questioning whether you were just doing a Game Dave style cut in, or. You know, but it was actually continuous, or if you were cutting a soundbite, because I couldn't, like, I didn't, like, if I had gone back and looked, you know, really closely, I probably could have been able to tell, but I could not tell that it was not a continuous soundbite when you did those cuts.
Right. Yeah, it was...
It worked really well.
Yeah, I was able to cut it pretty good. I mean, I could have made, like, the soundbites a lot tighter, probably.
I thought your documentary was done really well. It seemed, if I didn't know you guys, I would assume that, like, a super professional crew had done it.
Yeah, I mean, just two guys with a camera, you know? That's, you know, we've kind of got experience in that area, but, you know, we haven't done a lot of this type of thing just, like, on our own. So, you know, it was definitely, even though we've got the experience to do something like that, you know, it was still a lot of learning. And, we see plenty of areas that we want to improve on for the next one. So, you know, every experience, you know, just kind of adds on.
I mean, there was a lot of stuff, you know, I was like, oh, I wish I had, like, this, like, a shot of this.
Wish we had shot this or shot that.
But now we know that for the future. You know,
we thought we were being thorough. What we really should have gotten was more of you guys, like, at your desks and working and that kind of stuff. Yeah, like, we thought we had enough, but we kind of didn't. So.
Yeah. I think it's really funny, though. There's that shot of you, like, typing on your, at your computer, and the audio for it is like, anybody who knows how to type knows that I'm not typing anything right now. That's what you say.
Yeah, I thought it was funny seeing a lot of the shots of us working. We weren't actually working, and I was like, wow, that actually looks real.
Yeah. There's, when you, like, when you guys are both, like, side by side, you know, and you're, like, writing a tweet or something like that, and you're like, apparently you wrote, I was in the other room during that time, so I didn't hear what you guys were talking about, and then I heard, and you were typing, like, it hurts when I poop. That's what you said you were typing. So just like the audio in these parts, and it is cut out.
Josh and I are always thankful that there's no, like, recording devices in the office, because we say some really random shit.
And you guys aren't used to it, too, because Josh was like, I remember when we, because we met up at that restaurant with you guys for lunch and all the Mighty Rabbit developers, and Josh was like, okay, now everyone was sure that they got, like, stuff off their screens before we came here, right?
Yeah.
And Josh kept opening, like, the wrong tab on his browser, like, oh wait, I remember, I can't open that. Oh,
apparently that was Shadow Complex.
Yeah, that was at the time.
It's just so weird because
Josh,
like, since then, like, so much has already happened in just in that 2 months.
It's so crazy for me to think about, like, how many things you guys have in the pipeline. Like, that is just.
I mean,
it's definitely overwhelming.
I mean, things have to be. I mean, I know that, like, Metal Jesus did a video on, like, all your games recently, so that's got to be huge for you, especially, like, with his 300,000 subscriber base that he has now.
Yeah.
So that's got to be driving, like, a lot of people.
I mean, just in the interest of just getting, you know, meeting more of these requests from developers and just the sheer number of games you guys are planning to put out, like, do you think you would ever, like, do more than two release dates per month? You know, potentially bringing on more staff if need be, but, like, or do you think, because I know one of the things you had talked about in the interviews, and I don't think it's really came out in the documentary, but you don't want to overwhelm your audience so much to where, you know, it's like, oh gosh, be able to afford another game from these guys this week, you know?
Yeah.
So people don't get, like, so tired of it. I that's a tricky balance. Like, you want to do more games, but, you know, some people are like, so, like, for me, I'm buying the ones that I'm like, personally, like, really interested in playing. Other people are like, I have to have every limited run release, and eventually, like, if you're releasing, like, you know, four a month, like, some people are going to just, like, at some point, they're going to hit their limit, I guess.
Yeah, this month was definitely, I think, originally, three releases. I mean, it is three releases, but it was going to be three different dates. But because Dragon Fantasy got pushed back because we dropped our fulfillment center, we decided to push One Way Heroics and Thomas Was Alone together to try to give people a better chance on shipping. Even though it's going to be a lot more work on our end, but we wanted time to get ready. But next month, next month was also originally looking to be a really heavy month. There's a lot of games coming out. It's kind of scary, actually, because we were like, we don't really know if we have the money for this, but we decided to try to space it out, so I think there might be, like, three release dates next month, at most.
Yeah.
We haven't actually decided very much past, like, what day we think Shantae may come out. That's it.
So let's talk about the distribution center for a second, because that's, like, pretty recent, too. I mean, that's gotta be crazy, because I remember at the time you said, oh, they, when you first, like, their first order, your first order through them, like, was really good, and they really messed up with this, with Soldner and Deadline, right? That's, like, was the thing that made you drop them.
Yeah, so I shipped Breach and Clear by myself, Saturday Morning RPG, and then Oddworld was, like, half me and half with the team. Mm-hmm.
Then you guys just, that, like, though, like, get some beers and hang out and pack them up?
No, I'm not a big drinker. Yeah, and like when I say it was just me, I mean it was literally just me at first. Josh was too busy doing a lot of the other stuff for Limited Run. Like at the time, there wasn't as much for me to do because our community was smaller, and there was only like one convention at the time, PSX. So there wasn't a lot of things for me to go to, or a lot of we didn't have that many people we were talking to, so I wasn't as busy. So I was in charge of shipping and like sales and making sure all that stuff went right because I'd already been doing that for a lot of my life. And so I was doing that, and then we started getting bigger, and I started going to conventions and being more active on the community, just like talking to developers because Josh can't talk to all of them at every single point in the day because he has to take care of Mighty Rabbit and Limited Run. Mm-hmm. Plus, there's just a lot to do. So I was like, I don't want to do shipping anymore. If there's one thing I could kill off, it'd be shipping. So we hired another guy named Ben who came on as a producer at Mighty Rabbit, and he's kind of a liaison for Limited Run. He does like work for us when we need it, and we were like, hey, find us a shipping center. So we found them, and they did a good job on Futuridium. And then after that, they just kept getting worse and worse, and it just that was literally their only job. Like they're a shipping center, and they couldn't ship. So. It was really hurting our brand, especially with like competitors coming out. We were like, we can't have this happen anymore. So we started investing money to do it again in our own office. Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at a new office actually with like actual warehouse space.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there'll be like a truck drive up. So we might be in another location the next time you show up. but the Dragon Fantasy run is pretty much almost all done. All I have to do on Monday, tomorrow is Saturday Morning RPG game and vinyl bundles, and then like any orders that were originally pending, like they had their payment didn't go all the way through, and then I'm done. And then that was only a week and one day. The fulfillment center took almost a month to do Shadow Complex, and Wow. They didn't even do it right.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah, it was Shadow Complex that was the one that they really messed up. Sorry.
One they really, really messed up was Soldner. You were right.
Oh, okay. Because they were like missing like soundtracks and all this other stuff. Like,
yeah, then they did it again with Shadow Complex, and we told them on that one, like, hey, if you mess up again, you lose our business, and they were like, okay, we won't mess up, and then they did.
So that's crazy. I mean, with, like, a limited amount of copies and stuff, you know, and they're messing up these shipping, like, how do you figure out everything, and, like, how do you keep track that you have enough? Like, what if they messed up and shipped the wrong things to people? Like, how do you make up for those? Like that had they been like pretty.
In our contracts, we have promo copies. I mean, like we reserve some of the ones from the run for ourselves and for damage games or like if there's anything lost in the mail. So we use those, but there's not that many of them. So
Right. Thankfully,
the fulfillment center didn't screw up that bad. Had they done that, I mean, I would have just had to refund people, and that would have been terrible for our brand. So thankfully, it didn't. They didn't come to that.
I mean, especially like after like the everything, you know, because there it was like problems with the like people were figured out how to like manipulate the web store, right? Is that like one of the big like that was another big problem with the Soldner release? Is they were able to?
No, we thought they were able to manipulate Soldner. The only thing that happened was there were some people that manipulated the system to get, like, the Breach and Clear franchise bundle.
Okay.
It was, like, one guy or two guys in particular, and we caught on to how they were doing it and fixed that. Soldner, honestly, was just... It was more of there was too many people wanting the same game, but...
Right. Okay.
There are people that go out and manipulate the system.
Yeah, and that's why... And you guys remove the games from the store now, like, right before they go live. You have, like a really cool way
doing it. Yeah, we changed the ID on it. It's the same SKU, but the variant ID will like change or something, and it basically removes everything from everyone's cart, and it becomes non-available, so like nobody can just add it.
Right.
So it looks scary because like they go missing for a second, and everybody freaks out, and emails me, and then I'm like, it's gonna be okay, just give it a sec.
So do you think you'll be looking for another fulfillment center, or at this point are you just like, yeah, screw it, we're just going to do it our own way from here on?
No, the idea is to do it our own way and then maybe offer our services to other people one day. Make your own
fulfillment center.
For other
people.
Because the problem with the fulfillment center we used is they are obviously not gamers. They don't understand, like, there's a limit to how much you can fit into an envelope and how, like, important it is to get these rights if they are limited.
Right.
So, like, we feel like if we can do it right and continue to do it right, we might open our doors up to other people. Like, maybe do, like, Kickstarters.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea.
I mean, you've got the experience doing it. I mean, it doesn't even, you know, even if someone just wanted, like, to ship their Kickstarter t-shirts, you know, it doesn't even have to be, like, a game. You've got the experience getting stuff to people efficiently.
Yeah, that would be a good idea too. Like we're it's not exclusive to just it's exclusive to game people, but like it doesn't
game
have to be
mean, games. But yeah.
Yeah.
No
sleeping
in the cockpit. Oh, man. Yeah, that'd be awesome. So that's why you're looking for the warehouse space.
Yeah. We found a place with a big warehouse. So it's actually the office itself is pretty big for Mighty Rabbit and Limited Run. We keep joking about how we'll get lost.
It's gonna be like the warehouse for the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. One of the guys on Mighty Rabbit was talking about how we should like try to turn it into a game of Clue and like kill somebody and try to figure out who it was.
Well, you should certainly can have some VR space, that's for sure.
Yeah, we have a room picked out for VR too.
That's cool. We
but
got
you
to try
guys
it.
Kinda like the space. Yeah, that was one of the coolest things. I don't know if you were one of the devs. I think you were maybe getting ready to leave when he invited us over to play with the Vive, but that was cool because we hadn't really gotten to try VR before. I briefly strapped on like a very early Oculus, but it was a terrible demo and I didn't get much out of it. But it was fun playing with the Vive.
Yeah, the Vive is awesome. I'm not a big VR guy, and then I played the Vive, and I was like, "Well, you know, VR could actually be a real thing."
Yeah, but that's if people got the space, you know, to have that dedicated space for it. That's the tricky part.
You know who just did a really good video on like VR is Super Bunny Hop. Just did a video on Japanese arcades and about how he played all the like some VR games in Japan. And there was one where you're. are on a like rescuing a cat from a ledge and you actually go out to the ledge.
Oh gosh.
And you can actually like fall off it, I guess. Where it's like they kind of guide you down like a it's like not even a foot off the ground, but you try to stay on this plank. it's pretty hilarious actually. It's a great video.
It sounds horrifying.
Yeah. It has like a you pick up like you can see it like the cat is like alive in the inside the VR, but when you actually grab it, in that place is a it's just like a stuffed animal cat.
Uh-huh.
So you're actually doing it, but you know the VR is, I guess, augmenting the reality. That's a good way to put it. I don't know why I'm having a hard time with this boss. After I think this is like as far as I've gotten, but I've gotten a few more keys this time. Oh, there's a message.
Man, you guys, the office that we interviewed you in, like you haven't been in there really all that long. Like you, if I'm not mistaken, you were on the like Mighty Rabbit. Has been on the other side for a while, but the part that Limited Run has taken over is pretty recent, right?
Yeah, we've only been there since March. I think in a March, somewhere around there. Or no, it might have been April. I think we got in there in April.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's been really long.
Yeah, so your early stuff with the boxing and packaging and all those operations. I mean, that's a pretty small, would have been a pretty small place, like with, you know, all of the development operations happening there too.
Yeah.
The VR room you were in was actually, that's where I did it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Try check the chat and the Skype.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't see it. But
oh,
Doug, you have to take off soon. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
What it says? Okay.
Yeah, I gotta go soon.
Understandable.
That's all.
That's all it is.
Limited Run. No problem at all.
So you guys have like a big couple of games this Friday too. I'm really hyped about Thomas with Alone. Like, it's such a good soundtrack. I mean, I'm.
Yeah, no, we have. We'll have the soundtrack for that too, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was announced. I don't really care, but yeah, soundtrack.
That's cool. Like, it's like the soundtrack is amazing in that game. It's like, it's kind of sad, but the way it kind of builds up through the story is great.
Corey likes sad games.
Yeah. Well, games are like...
You're always like Nier has this like just really sad feel to it. I love it.
Well, yeah, I mean,
well, I really like Shadow of the Colossus. It's really sad.
Yeah. I love Shadow of the Colossus.
And that's, you just know that Last Guardian is going to be sad.
I don't know how I feel about that game.
Oh, really? I'm excited. Not even thinking about it, really.
I mean, I'm not like hyped about it or anything, but like a lot of the hype I had for it died when it kept getting delayed. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because like I was like super hyped for it when it was first announced, and like I don't know if it's just kind of like a, you know, so much time has passed thing, but like, yeah, it's kind of weird. Like when they initially were like showing it for PS4, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's back. But then, like, since then, it's like, yeah, I'm going to get it. You know, I'm going to get it day one. I'll play it right away. But it's like, yeah, it is kind of just like, I think it's almost like the moment has passed in a way. But, you know, once we actually get to it, you know, it might be amazing. But, like, I feel like there's just, like, almost this kind of fear that's like, oh, my gosh, we've been waiting for it so long. Like, I'm scared to get excited for it because what if it's not amazing? Like, I don't care that much about Ico. I love Shadow of the Colossus. Ico is just like, it's just kind of there for me.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
I only played it once. You know, I've got the HD version, and I should actually play through it. But you know, I played through the PS2 version. It's okay. But Shadow of the Colossus blows me away. So I mean, you know, it's like not that much of a guarantee, you know. That I'll like it, but I certainly am hoping to.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I mean, Final Fantasy 15 has had a lot of delays, but I really like the demos I've played, and I feel like I'm going to enjoy it anyway, just because, like, to me, I don't think anything can be worse than 13, so I don't really... the bar has already been set for me.
We both like Final Fantasy 13, but we're kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, you guys might, but I know Josh and I didn't.
So. Yeah.
No, most people didn't like it.
I'm just saying, we're like among the few people who like actually like Final Fantasy 13. Yeah. Like, in all honesty, though, like, I like all of the Final Fantasies except for 2. I mean, it's like, I mean, like the actual 2, not, I mean... you know, the Final Fantasy 4 is great. The normal, the actual 2, not my favorite. I still kind of want to replay it, though, just because. But otherwise, I like them all. I like them all, including 11 and 14.
I don't know. I'm in the minority in the office, I think. I didn't really like... I'm not a big fan of 9, and I didn't really like 12. And everybody seems to love 12, but I just, for whatever reason...
Really? 12 is very divisive. Like, it's like a lot of people say it's terrible.
I'm gonna switch to Octodad. But, you guys talk about Final Fantasy.
Yeah, a lot of people say 12 is terrible. Like, a lot of people don't think there's been a good one since 10, and I strongly disagree.
I mean, I played the crap out of 11, and I'm still playing a Realm Reborn.
Yeah, I've actually been finally playing a little bit more 14 lately. Like, I haven't even got, like, I got the expansion on day one, but I haven't even like been able to access the areas in the expansion yet because I've just been playing it so casually.
I've been playing it since it launched on PS3, and I just finally beat, I think, the second dungeon for the expansion. So
yeah, I've been Yeah, I mean, like, my main thing with both 11 and 14 is really, like, the main stories. Like, I did very little in 11 outside of, like, the main storylines for each expansion. Like, all the grinding for the best gear and stuff, that's just not my style. But what server did you play 11 on?
I play on Coral, the cat. Whatever.
Oh, yeah. I have no idea how you say that. Like, I always, like, said C-Earl. Yeah. But that can't be right because I think the O and the E are reversed. But it's, like, easier for me to say than whatever the alternative might be. I played on Sylph.
So I'm playing...
Come on.
I'm going to play Octodad. Octodad is maybe the stupidest game I've ever played in, like, the best possible way. My daughter was like going crazy over it. Like, she came in when I was playing it one day, and like every day after, she's like, can you play the octopus game? I did not play it. Like, I did not buy it digitally.
Yeah, I've never played it. Like,
it's hilarious.
Like, it's kind of sandboxy, or at least that's my impression of it, and I'm like not like a big sandbox person.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to explain it. Maybe it's sandboxy. It's really funny. One of my favorite,
like,
parts,
you
though,
control
is
his arms with like the analog sticks, right?
Yeah, and then I don't know how to get in here.
I really like Octodad. That was a cool game just because I was on our dream list. And then, like, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to email them and see what happens. And they were like, yes. So, oh, that's in the documentary. Never mind.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a great soundbite, you know.
You're beating myself.
Yes. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, like, my main experience with it was there's this guy that does these amazing trailers for a lot of games. For a while he was doing it. I can't think of what trailer for this when it was being released. Oh, look at this. I have no idea how to get in here. How to get into the there's the frozen.
So you're continuing from a file that you have.
Yeah, it's not like the third level.
Okay. Like
the first, but he did like a fast forward.
I don't think you used any gameplay footage in the video, just some, like, cutscene type stuff.
I had something there, and, I only used the one cutscene of, like, when, it's, like, I don't know if people really caught it.
No, Corey, it looks like the stream is dead. Everyone in the chat is saying the stream is dead, and I can't see it going either.
My stream's really far behind.
Stream reached its limit.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier for try to do it.
I was telling Corey. I said, you know, when we get around to doing the how to get the best picture.
Is it
back?
It says I'm live here. Is it back? I stopped and started it again. It's working again. It's okay. Are we back? Let me see if we're back. I stopped it and then started it again.
Yeah, I don't know.
Try, are you seeing anything?
Not right now. I don't know. Is anyone...
Sounds like it's
if
dead.
If you can hear
I'm gonna head out.
Give us a sign. All right. See you later.
All right, take care.
See you guys
later. Will you put something in the chat to see what's? Well, let's see what happens here. Oh, now it says stream resumed.
Oh. It looks like it's trying to load for me.
Says welcome
back. Okay, people are saying it's back.
Now it's back. Douglas has left. Oh.
Or not?
Or not? I don't know. It might go back off and then come back on again. What is going on? Not back. Hang on. Let's see what happens here. I mean, it's saying that we're fine. I mean, I'm not dropping any frames or anything. It says it's
no
live.
No drop frames or anything. Weird. It must be on YouTube.
Okay, let's see what happens. Now it's saying stream is continuing. Let's see what happens. Say we're trying. Like it's saying here, it's... I mean, it says here that it's fine. Keeps cutting out.
You want to try the backup server, or it says stream complete, uploading the archive to your channel. Oh, stream is continuing. Oh, here we go.
I switched it to the backup now, ingest. Oh, let's see.
Sometimes that's what you got to do.
There it is.
Yep.
I've not gotten the frozen pizza yet. There it is. I have not gotten the frozen pizza yet.
FYI. We lost Douglas. We had to say goodbye to Douglas.
Sorry about that, everybody.
So you're just going to have to live with us.
Yeah.
So the frozen pizzas are like in that section, right?
Yeah, I see it in there. I don't just know how to get it. It's very, like, there's a little, sometimes a little puzzly.
You know, I think it's amazing that this game is on the Vita. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, the areas are not that big.
Yeah, but, like, I feel like the character himself has to be, like, very complex. Like the way that his limbs move and stuff. Like, it... My imagination is that takes a lot of processing, but maybe not.
Right.
Is there a button you have to hit to, like...
It's
grab
like out of order.
The door?
Not only that, but it's, like...
Like, you, like, actually have to, like, crawl through the open freezers?
I tried to. It just seems like it's, like, more difficult than it should be if that's the case.
I choose Gervison's because I can't...
Well, I mean, this game is supposed to be, like, difficult to play, right? Like, that's, like, the point.
Yeah, but it's, like, there's a line between it being difficult and not being able to, like, get someplace because... It's your movement is supposed to be so difficult, like stuff like this. Like, I know I got to get the orange soda from this thing up here, and I feel like I got to throw something up there.
Those people that with those dots, is that like they're starting to be suspicious that you might be an octopus?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. When it starts out, it's like his wedding day, and his. And best man comes in and he's like, oh! Like his first thing, like you might think that he, like people are thinking like that he like knows, like he just realized, but then he's like, you're not ready yet. But I kind of used a shot from one of my favorite things. I used like a little edit. I don't know if people really caught it, but in the episode where I talk about the people that can't try and cancel their order if it doesn't sell out fast enough, mm-hmm. And it cuts the Octoday. It's like, like he's like freaking out, but nobody really. I don't know if anybody really picked up on it.
I never really thought about it.
Like it's just kind of a way to cover and edit in the soundbite and also show. People that would cancel their orders like that.
Did you ever did you ever watch Animaniacs?
I'm familiar with it, but No.
There's a segment on Animaniacs called Chicken Boo. And I've always assumed that this game might be somewhat inspired by it. Because there's just like this giant oversized chicken. He's not talking chicken or anything. He just goes, bah! And like, but he's like doing all of these like human-like situations. And mint craft. But he's always doing these like all these like human situations. Like sometimes he's like, you know, like has like some important job or something like that. And there's always like one person in the episode saying, he's a chicken. But no one else believes him. But there's one person in every episode who like actually knows that he's a chicken. And then at the very end of the episode, like,
they kind of like figure it out.
Everyone else realizes he's a chicken. But up until that point, everyone is like, you're crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case with this because it always seems to be like there's like their neighbor or something like that is.
Yeah, Blade Blur's got it. It's a chicken, I tell you, a giant chicken. let me look up the lyrics. There's a little ditty that goes with it. Chicken Booth theme song. Chicken Boo, what's the matter with you? You don't act like the other bananas. You wear a disguise to look like human guys, but you're not a man, you're a Chicken Boo.
No, I feel like Animaniacs was like, it's like after like I was probably be.
Well, like Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain for me, like I was past the age where I was really watching any cartoons, but like those were like my like second wind of cartoon watching, like because they were like they were definitely kind of like universally like funny and like a way that I think, you know, anyone of any age could appreciate. Like at first, like I didn't think I would like it, but then I, you know, a friend of mine watched it and I started watching it. I'm like, okay, this is actually really funny. Like mainly Pinky and the Brain. That was my main thing in that era. But then, you know, I noticed the Animaniacs was actually pretty funny too, which is what Pinky and the Brain came from originally.
Whoa. I don't know if that was what I was supposed to do, but.
You're climbing that tower right now.
I get up to the there's the orange soda that I need.
Oh,
the mango soda. Oh, there, I got it. Stretch. All right.
Oh yeah, Ryan Schmidt asks, anyone else notice Try in the new Gaming Historian? It's true.
Yeah, I was actually supposed to be in it too, but my part got cut.
Yeah, it was too long. He said it was getting too long. You know, a lot of people like asked, like, why was I speaking in this weird, unintelligible way? And the fact of the matter is that that's what the guy that I was doing the voice for, that's what he sounds like. Like Norm asked me, the guy that I was voicing was a South Carolina senator, and Norm linked me to a video of him. I looked up a few other videos. I mean, he said, and mimic his voice as best you can, but I figured that he thought if I, you know, it was probably the sort of situation as long as I, you know, like my accent, you know, I've definitely got a Southern accent, but it kind of fluctuates in intensity kind of depending on who I'm talking to. Like right now, it's probably not very intense, but like if I'm talking with someone local, it just like naturally just kind of comes out more. And
I wonder if that would break the glass.
But yeah, a lot of people thought that the accent I did was too ridiculous, but this guy actually sounds pretty ridiculous. Like there was this the video that he linked me to was actually a hearing on Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead fan. I have to.
It wasn't on Beavis and Butthead in particular, I think, but he mentioned it. Like, it was like, it was about in general, like, you know, protecting children from, you know, controversial TV being on and, you know, times that they would watch or whatever. But he was talking about Beavis and Butthead. And he says something like, he's like, something that we all have to realize is that television is the most pervasive of all parents that children have. he said, pervasive. Like, he just got this really pervasive. And then, like, later on, like, he's like, we don't want to be debating this for 40 years. And, like, that's like a real old style Southern accent where instead of like R's, you say like is. Like, instead of years, that's a yes. 40 years. Like, there are people who sound like that, but you just very rarely hear it. I think that's like more like a much more old style Southern accent. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying I nailed his voice, but it's in the ballpark. He sounds ridiculous. I wasn't sounding ridiculous just because I felt like it.
Just because you felt like it.
It was fun. It was fun to do it a little ridiculous.
I thought for sure that this would be.
Would one of the do Could one of the other customers maybe open the door?
No, it's out of order. Like, it's literally, like, the stupidest game I've ever played. But in, like, the best possible way. I'm just happy I got the orange soda finally. But I'm so close. I don't know how to get to the first... Does anybody in the chat know how to get to the frozen pizza?
Does anyone in the chat know how to get to the frozen pizza? I can look up on Game Pass.
Yeah.
You want me to?
Sure.
We want to be able to see another level. The Game Facts poll of the day is, what percentage of the games that you own have you beaten?
Ah, it's pretty relevant. Yeah.
Oh, what's the difference between, like, is it just like the port, like there's Octodad and then there's Octodad Dadliest Catch?
Well, no, Dadliest Catch is the second game. This is actually, the first one was like a tech demo. This is like a sequel to it. It's actually the second game.
But the premise must be the same, like he gets married and right?
I don't know.
There's actually no game facts on this. Like, it's all in the system, but there's no...
Really?
Yeah, there's no help. That's sad.
And we're going to have to do this the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
I wonder if I could take the pickaxe from Minecraft. Oh,
that's a good idea. I don't need to keep the percentage of unfinished games on top of my mind because I use the backloggery.
This has got to be the way to do it.
Old-fashioned way. Break out the VCR. Time to watch How to Beat.
Yep. It doesn't work.
So the beginning of the game must imply that he's been living this way for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, as a human.
Well, I think that he is not actually even trying to live as a human.
He's not trying to be human?
Well, I think that... I just think he's, like, ended up in this situation.
Hmm. He's just fallen into the human world, and it's, like, where he is now.
Yeah. I feel like it wasn't his intention.
But, like, isn't he, like, scared, though? That, like...
Well, he doesn't want to get caught. I mean, he's got a couple of kids
now. Right, so he is aware. Like,
he knows he's not human.
He is aware that he is not human.
Oh, very much so.
I feel like this is the sort of game that could maybe even have a sad ending.
If he gets caught.
I know. It could be terrible.
There's got to be...
I feel like it's got to be something so basic.
Yeah, I mean, this is only the third level.
Like, are you sure you cannot open that door?
Somebody's saying go in the freezer. I can go in here, but I can't go any further than this.
You can't, like, navigate over to where the pizzas are.
Well, I can. I mean, I can't. No, I can't navigate that far.
How long can someone be looking at you?
I don't know. I never tried it. I don't know how it does. See, I can't get in there. I can't.
Well, like, the important thing to note is that Octodad's kids...
Are human.
Are human.
Yeah.
And presumably not adopted. Can you bring some stuff into the freezer to make a staircase to get over that one?
Maybe. Let's try it.
Apparently Raven575 found a guy that says he needs to climb through the freezer. So you probably need to bring some stuff in there to, like, make a staircase or something.
Oh, okay. Let's see what happens.
That's my guess. Well, 8-bit hypnosis is fine. Another thing it says, you'll want to slip one foot onto a shelf and lift the other over the top shelf, then slide the other foot through to the other side.
Wait, read that one more time.
You'll want to slip one foot onto a shelf and lift the other over the top shelf, then slide the other foot through to the other side.
Oh, here we go. I'm doing it. That's okay, so that's. Oh, I can go right through here. It's happening. Whoa!
Yeah. I'm hearing him making crazy sounds, but.
Wait till you see it. He gets it goes up to the ventilation. He's like,
oh, you got it.
Yeah, I'm getting a sushi a sushi sample.
That on that video rental box, the background is like the bit trip.
I know.
Colors.
That's what I thought.
I will turn you into moderately priced sushi. Slow down, or I can kill you.
This is so stupid, and it's hilarious though at the same time.
Wait, so does the chef know that you're not supposed?
I guess so. Look at the cow.
How wrecked the place is.
The funny thing is like, he has this relationship with his wife and kids that he never speaks to. He's just like, about everything.
I mean, I could, like, if it's got, like, these clearly, like, I guess I imagined it was more sandboxy, but, like, I guess, like, I might have more fun with it if it is, like, you know, these, like, individual missions. Like, I could see it being fun in, like, a Katamari sort of way.
Hey, that's exactly what it's like. right.
All right, now that we've got our groceries, it's time to head to the aquarium.
He really doesn't want to go to the aquarium.
Well, that makes two of us. To the car, kids.
I'm watching you check out all the stuff.
I want to climb something condemned. Honey, it's really simple. You can enter the aquarium with your family, or you can walk home alone. Come on, Dad. What are you waiting for?
So are you going to buy either of the games? The Limited Run is going to have them up on Friday.
Remind me which ones they are again.
It's One Way Heroics, which is kind of as a Japanese developed,
right?
Roguelike.
And Thomas is Alone.
And Thomas is Alone. I think Thomas is Alone. I think they'd be something.
You think so? I'll have to look into them a little bit more. I mean, that's kind of, you know, why I did Zeo Drifter. It was funny because I had plenty of time to get Zeo Drifter because I looked on the side, I was like, oh yeah, there was a game going up and I meant to look into it. And I forgot to look into it, so I saw the game was up. I went to YouTube, I looked at a trailer, I'm like, oh yeah, I think I'd like this game. So I went and ordered it. It was probably 12 minutes after the hour and I still got it.
Yeah. Marine biologists know a fish when they see one. Keep out of their sight. I have to get a coupon from Scarlett. I don't know who Scarlett is, so.
It takes a marine biologist to identify him. They all look the same.
Yeah.
Fish and that fish divided into thousands of fish.
Well, it's fun. It's fun and it's absurdness. I like when you're throw things and he's brr! Like he's really trying to throw it. I'm gonna go into the bathroom. Oh, when am I gonna learn not to trust free searching? So yeah, if people in the chat they like the format of this, was it what you expected it was gonna be when we talked about how we went to visit Limited Run?
Oh yeah, yeah. If the documentary was what people imagined.
Yeah, because you said that you were very surprised with the way that I wrote it.
Well, I was because I didn't really have a lot of vision for what the direction was going to be of the video, and what impressed me was you managed to talk about their games and their releases in order, while at the same time using each game to highlight a different part of their story. So it was always it continued to be about their story, but, you made it work really well, and I wasn't really sure what direction it was going to take, but that's all part of it.
Yeah.
I think the thing that might have surprised a lot of people was how, the style was totally different. It was a very intentional decision.
Yeah.
Well before we even shot it, that it was going to not be in the style of our normal episodes. We were going to have different graphics. It was going to have its own open. We still got, it's a more full version of the My Life in Gaming theme that Matt Macheski wrote, and Matt gave Corey a good bit more music that he was allowed to use.
I think that was one of my favorite parts about the whole episode, is being able to use so much original music for it.
Yeah, I mean, it really kind of made it almost like Matt did a unique score for it.
Yeah, but this is just all stuff. if you're a patron, I did like a interview with Matt. That was like when he gave me all these different songs. Was when I was just visiting him. Yeah. He's like, oh, you can do whatever you want with them, you know. But he gave me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's several that I didn't even use, like, because I just didn't have a spot for them.
Yeah, but don't call that new intro, because that's, you know, we might bring that back for, you know, these special sorts of episodes. But you know, we just want it to be a little different, have a little bit of a different feel. You know, I think one thing that really gave us a lot of inspiration was the Gaming Historian's Power Glove video.
Right.
Because we both loved when we watched that, how he did the pre title segment. And, you know, it really made you feel like you were sitting down for a documentary movie, you know, the way he had the credits, the music build, and then it, you know, brought the title screen, and we were like, well, next time we would do a documentary, we want to do something like that, where we've got this unique credit sequence, you know, a little different music to go along with it. Like, we really wanted to do something something that made you feel like you were in for something different, different from the norm.
Right. Yeah, it's it's funny because I like cut that intro with the sound bites and everything, like, so long ago, and I've been always like, I've been so excited for people to like see it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's funny.
And that was, you know, obviously an idea that we've had for a long time, because we shot all those interviews, of course, well before, well, not well before, at least like maybe 3 weeks before.
Right.
Before we actually shot the things, we were like, wouldn't it be cool if we like sort of led into it with like, you know, just a bunch of other people. Like, some of those are YouTube people, some are just people that we were just like, hey, can we talk to you?
Right.
You know, it was a fun way to do it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, he caught me.
Okay. Oh, was it a marine biologist?
Yeah.
Where's the suspicion meter?
It's that the purple thing.
Oh, the purple.
But yeah, I mean, I was so excited for people to see that intro.
Yeah.
We're so alone.
So yeah, for episodes like this, we'll probably do similar things to that in the future.
Yeah.
You know, give each one sort of vibe.
Yeah. All right, let's go. And that version of the song is actually that I use is his final version of the song.
It's, yeah, he considers that like the final version. Yeah,
It's on, but it's like without lyrics. Although that version of it without lyrics, if you're a patron, there's a interview with Matt, and I put the whole song at the end of that video, so you could download it and then extract it for yourself.
You gotta work for it.
Yeah, right.
Also, gotta be a patron.
Yeah. But it's cool. It's exciting to be able to use that.
That shark costume person.
Yeah. World of Kelp. I don't know where they are. I'm going up here. There's a version with lyrics available on his Bandcamp. It's like that version of the song, but with, it has words to it. It's like it's a full song that he has.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing about the interview with Gerard was that was actually the second interview.
You started and stopped this.
This is what we call in the business, we call double punching. Yeah. I accidentally hit record twice. It happens. It happens. But it was really embarrassing.
Yeah.
But you know, he really enjoys our stuff. So you know,
it
wasn't too embarrassing to ask him to do it again. He was super cool about it. He's like just like the absolute, you know, nicest, most genuine guy.
Yeah. It was cool being able to have all these people in there, and it kind of sucks that I was only able to use like a sentence out of each one, because we talked to each person for like 10 minutes probably.
Oh, no, not quite that long.
Like at least 5 minutes.
You know, yeah, probably 3 to 5 in most cases, I would say. Like, I kept them pretty short.
Yeah.
But like Josh and Douglas are probably like, Josh is probably like an hour.
It's 45 minutes. I've exported his interview for.
Oh, okay.
Already, it's 45 minutes.
Well, Douglas is probably about the same then, because I remember having to switch cards partway through that interview. Right. At least once.
Oh, am I going out here? I guess so. I guess I should. And the stream is like running on my computer.
Huh?
The stream was playing back on my computer.
Oh, yeah, that happens sometimes.
The theme song does have a name. It's actually called Principal.
The World of Kelp.
I don't really know.
A PLE, not a PAL. Grab that big
globe and I'll get the quiz going. What? Oh, Principal. Yeah.
Did your kid just say, "Oh man, look at all this learning"?
Maybe. I missed it.
I forgot. Learning can be awesome. Sports educational day.
Play the globe game. Nario sisters, they're green. Go ahead, go. I assume I have to get spin really fast. But yeah, you should, if you haven't checked out his Bandcamp, it's linked on the on our channel information stuff. He has a whole other like EP available, and it's all like name your price. You know, we should have him on stream with us sometime.
Yeah.
He's a big XCOM fan.
Oh, yeah. I remember he said he like put like a ton of time into XCOM and like Fallout 4.
Well,
like, didn't you say
no,
he had, like,
that's his older brother, Justin, who is who I like grew up with.
Okay. Matt's younger than you, right?
I think Matt might be the same age as you.
Oh, okay.
Which is funny to think about.
You know, something that was interesting in that interview was like he was talking about like the difference between like analog synthesizers and digital synthesizers, and that's just something that I'd never really thought about. Like,
yeah, but I mean, it's very similar like, what we talk about.
Yeah, I mean, with like. Would something like the Genesis sound chip, would that be like analog?
No, I don't think so.
Because, I mean, like, it's never emulated correctly. You know? Laminaria is yellow. Hurry, hit all three. Spin the earth as hard as you can. And, you know, there's even differences in how it works between systems, so that's kind of why I was wondering. Like I can't really totally figure out like what the actual applicable difference would be.
I don't know. I mean, it's probably the same, similar as videos. You probably have like you can do a little bit more like random stuff with it.
Yeah, you can manipulate it more. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so it looks like. So Raven 575 just posted a link, and it didn't. Maybe mods can can post links.
Yeah, I think they can.
That's cool.
Dad,
But we should have him on sometime. So you want to talk about your next episode? You're kind of working on. It's just like a. It's an easy episode.
Yeah, an easy episode. Do you think I should say what it is? Yeah, we used to kind of like keep it all secret, but now we kind of like just tend to talk about it. You think I should?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm working on a. I just noticed it's after 11. I'm working on a episode about Sunsoft on the N64, which
that,
is two
that
games.
N64 is so hot right now.
only two games, both from the same series, though they did not develop it. But still, you know, I'm going. I think I'm going to position it as a Sunsoft on the N64 thing, just because I think it's fun to think of it that way. But it's Chameleon Twist 1 and 2. And that should be the next episode on the channel. I need, you know, an easy episode because my last two were Framemeister Alternatives and AVS, both of which were, you know, pretty intense, especially the Framemeister Alternatives. That was,
yeah. You're still reeling from it.
Yeah. I'm feeling a lot better now. I just need an easy episode. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure what my next episode after that will be, but I should probably do the Game Boy RGB episode, just because I keep saying that's, you know, I originally thought that was going to happen in April, but it kept getting pushed out for other priorities.
My next one is going to be EverDrives, console EverDrive specifically. I mean, that's like, it's a pretty well-known thing, especially like in our fan base probably. But
yeah,
I still think it's like a fun thing to do an episode on.
So do you have like ideas for like?
No, it's just gonna be tips and tweaks.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna be doing
like basically all of them, right?
Well, all the console ones, yeah, and the SCDS NES. I'm gonna be showing the SCDS NES instead of the.
Super EverDrive,
yeah.
Now, does Crix have any, like, relation to that?
The,
SC2 SNES?
I think he's the one who produces, like, the boards and stuff. I'm not sure if he designed
it. So he's, like, associated with it, but it's not...
His name is on it, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure that he produces the boards. Because it's an FPGA. I don't know where I'm supposed to be going here. Uh-oh. Combine spores of each color. How do I combine them, I wonder?
Okay, so Crix isn't the SD2 SNES developer, but he's one of the people building the physical things.
Right.
Do you have a Game Boy EverDrive? I know you got GBA, right?
No, I don't have it. I don't have either.
You don't have either? Okay.
I think that they're going to send us one, but I think we have to... I'd rather just do these other ones before that so that... Crix sent us a N64 one, and Stone Age Gamer sent us a SCDS NES. Man, I hope this cold doesn't get any worse.
You have like lost your voice so many times this year.
I know. I'm so happy it's almost fall though. So you had a little preemptive Halloween movie marathon the other day. You watched some scary movies? Because October is the best month.
I mean, not really a lot yet. Me and Drum from the Backloggery, though, we have a tradition of watching a lot of horror movies in October. And like our big thing that we're excited about this year is that Phantasm 5 is finally coming out. And we're going to it's going to be in some theaters, but it's like mainly coming to streaming. And I think it comes out like October 4th or 7th or something. So we're going to get together on like a Saturday. We're going to watch the whole Phantasm 1 through 5 in one day. It's going to be great. Phantasm is a weird, weird series.
People probably mostly recognize it from the flying silver ball.
Yeah. And the tall man is the villain. Which he just died, like, it might have even been this year, but they had finished filming the fifth one. What's amazing about the Phantasm movies is, like, the first one, like, when Drum and I initially watched the first one, we were watching it, like, you know, to laugh at in almost a Troll 2 type of sense.
Right.
Because it seems completely nonsense. But then we learned that there's, like, this big fan base for it. Then they, like, actually, like, like, consider it, like, a really legit movie. And I'm like, what? But we watched the other three. And then the fourth movie blew our minds. Like, it seemed like this total nonsense series up to that point. And then, like, the fourth one, like, makes it look like they had a plan from the beginning. And, like, what's so crazy about this, one of the most fun things about the series is that each movie picks up right where the previous movie ended
off. So it's like one long continuous story.
It's like one long continuous story, but the funny thing is, like, between the first and second movies, there's like a pretty significant time jump. Like the second movie picks up where the last one ended up, but you never see the kid, like the youngest actor. You never see his face. And that, like, they're just using, like, a double. Like, you just see him from behind.
Right.
But then there's, like, a stretch of probably, like, 10 years or something. So there's that gap, like, right after the beginning of the movie. But the very beginning of the movie is right where the last one ended. And then from that point forth, there are no more time jumps. I'm not sure about the fifth movie, but there's no more time jumps. So where the second movie ends, literally the third movie picks up right there. And then the fourth movie again from the end of the third. But, you know, the funny thing is, you know, there's, like, pretty long production gaps between the movies, so the actors are, like, older.
Right, but they just pretend like there's no, like, no time has passed.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. I love it.
I know it's way after 11. I just want to finish this last thing. I want this thing to come up so I can get a save game. I'm so close.
Yeah, it looks like
there it goes.
Oh, I must not be very far behind at all. Wow.
What are the roots that Hope kills to the ground? Tilt the slider to find out.
Yeah, tilt the slider.
Oh, man. This is just like that episode of Sports Johnson.
Oh, I see. Let's do it. Okay, now we're going to this next room. I wonder how long this game is. Uh-oh.
I feel like it can't be that long. Why don't we consult How Long to Beat?
All right.
HowLongToBeat.com. It's looking like
15
three plus hours according to this, long. But you know, I'm sure it could vary wildly in a game like this, depending on how well you figure out the individual challenges.
Right.
Man,
I'm like really tired. This episode like really took a lot out of me.
I know what it's like. I know what it's like.
Hang on, I'm just going to full screen. I mean, I can't even. I have no idea like how I made it by this weekend.
Well, you have the habit of doing that.
Yeah, that's and true.
I don't think I've ever said, oh, I don't know, it's going to be tough to get out this weekend, and actually got it. You have a habit of like, it seems like it's so far away, and then all of a sudden you just like pull the rest together in no time.
Yeah.
That never happens to me. Like I'm, I guess, much worse at estimating it.
Yeah, it was pretty tough. I mean, I'm sorry it ended up taking, you know, like 2 months, but I guess, you know, when you think about it, that
we wanted it to be good. Like it was really important that this was good.
Yeah. And you know, we wanted it to be like a showpiece that we can use to pitch to other developers or whatever. I mean, can you imagine if we were doing like a couple of these a year, how awesome it would be? Like,
yeah.
getting to travel places and do stuff.
That's why that new Patreon goal is so exciting.
Right.
I mean, in all honesty, it probably really is a good ways off, but I mean, it's a good goal to put out there because we really do want to do this kind of stuff. You know, who was it? What's his name? Danny O'Dwyer or something
right,
like that?
Right, from GameSpot, who just recently, you know, he left GameSpot to do something very, you know, like he was doing
to do documentaries, but he launched a Patreon and got like
$10,000 in a day because he has a huge fan base for working for a site that gets
My point is there is a demand out there for this kind of documentary work on games, and he would probably focus more on like new stuff, and not that we wouldn't maybe do some new stuff, but I think we would generally be looking at different things, and of course Limited Run Games is new, but I think there's a there's a retro spirit about it.
I tweeted and the video to him to see if he would watch it. I mean, I wonder if he would watch it. If anybody has any connections to him, try and get him to watch it.
But no, I see what you did there, Blade Blur.
I was gonna say, yeah,
kind of funny.
Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely a demand for it, and you know, there's like so many people. Like, it would be so cool, like, to do, you know, like retro stuff in this style.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely got ideas. We know we both have ideas for things we'd like to do, and it would be so awesome to have that flexibility to do things that's like, you know, well, let's interview a bunch of people in, you know, LA or whatever. I mean, it would be expensive to get out there and do that. And the money we would make on YouTube alone would probably never make up the cost for any given episode that it would take for us to you know, travel out that far. So that's where Patreon helps a lot to make that possible, because it would just be a prohibitive expense otherwise. But I'd love to be able to do more of that. So and we will regardless. It's just that how many, how often, and
right, because I mean, you did
where they are will be limited,
right? Jeez. you did Myst, Rand Miller, like almost exactly, what was last July? You probably met with him. Even though the episode came out earlier than, there wasn't as big of a gap between shooting it and
And that one was less of a documentary, but I still think they fall under the same umbrella.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like kind of my dream project would fall under more that umbrella. You know, I think it'd be awesome to sit down with a developer because a lot of times developers only would rather talk about like their new game that they're working on. But I think it's awesome to kind of go through like all their old games, like everything that they've done.
Yeah. Right. That's the trickiest thing, especially if a developer is like kind of, you know, still behind like the red tape of a big company.
Right.
Like you're going to have to go through the PR department and they're going to be like, well, I don't care. Why do we care about talking to these people if they're not going to be talking about our new stuff? And you know, when I approached Cyan about Rand Miller, I said, you know, I want to talk to him about Myst and Riven and all, but also, you know, I want to talk about Abduction too. Obviously we didn't talk about Abduction a ton, but it definitely factored in, but, it is fun, you know, like we're never going to get Nintendo to let us talk to Shigeru Miyamoto, regardless of how. I mean, maybe one day if we got huge, we could talk to Shigeru Miyamoto, but their PR people aren't going to let us, like.
And not only that, but I mean,
they aren't going to let us.
I don't think anybody wants to hear us talk to Miyamoto, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, well, but here's the thing, if I had the opportunity, I wouldn't say no.
You know, he'd be crazy to say no.
You're right. I mean, we would do it, but it's not something we would actively pursue. But I'm just making a point, like, you know, I'm just using Miyamoto as a generic example. Right. Nintendo's PR people are not, like, they might allow us to ask like two questions about something old, but mostly they're going to want us to talk about what's new and now and coming. You know,
right?
And I you know the same. You know, probably applies to a lot of the big companies, but I think a lot of the people who did things that we would realistically have access to, a lot of those people are not necessarily at those companies anymore. So,
right,
you know, it's not necessarily impossible.
Yeah, we both have a number of things. Number of people that like are kind of a dream or things that we've like thrown around, like, oh, it'd be cool to talk to this person.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, like the three that we've done so far, you know, interview type videos, you know, we've done HD Retrovision, we've done Rand Miller, and we've done Limited Run, and all of those. I just asked.
Yeah.
I just asked, and they were all right away.
I'm going to use
this. I just sent an email, and it happened.
I'm going to use this to pitch, I think, maybe this week.
Oh.
I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
To, like, the dream project.
The dream project. Oh, gosh, that will be so exciting.
Yeah.
That will be so exciting.
Yeah. It'd be huge. It'd be huge.
Yeah, man. Wow. That'd be something.
Yeah. We're not going to put it out there. Not yet.
No. No.
But we'll see what happens. Anyways, is that going to do it for us for this week?
That'll do.
Thanks for watching tonight, and thanks for checking out the doc.
Yeah.
It's
good to have it out there.
It is, you know, it's that lull. Like, I mean, right after like getting an episode out, it's like it's literally like one of the best things. One of the best feelings you have. Yesterday my wife and I celebrated our eighth wedding anniversary. The actual day of the wedding anniversary is Tuesday. 26th, yeah. It's Tuesday. So her parents came down and we went out last night, and we just can't drink anymore. my wife was I don't know, like she had four drinks and like was throwing up. She threw up. I don't know. This was actually the first episode that my wife got a special thanks in the credits.
Oh, yeah, because you thought, you know. Because
I left so many times in July that I felt like really bad, you know.
Because you went to too many games. And
well, it was too many games, but going to visit you, and then.
You came back with another PVM.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just funny. Right, 26 is Monday, but anniversary is the 27th. Actually, I think it's the 28th. I don't know which one it is. I keep on getting mixed up in my head. My son was sick. I got some medicine for him, and I said his birthday. It was like one day later than it actually is when they asked for the date. But all right, that's gonna do it.
All right, good night, everyone. See you next Sunday.
Yep, I don't know what we're gonna be playing, but
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think it'll be something cool. Good night, everybody.